Thank you. First Chronicles, chapter number 29, please. Thank you. First Chronicles, chapter 29. You can be seated. You can be seated. Thank you. It's very much appreciated and also very much undeserving. Thank you. All right. Wonderful. First Chronicles, chapter 29. First Chronicles 29, it's in the Old Testament in those double books. So First Chronicles 29, while you're looking for it, I'll just take a minute to say thank you to anyone that's here that serves on staff and faculty who have sacrificed for this place to teach the next generation. From 1990 to 96, I was able to be a part of this place, and I was one of those rare students who I squeezed 4 years of Bible college into nine. And it's not easy to do. Not everybody does it. There are several of us who have, but it's not real easy to do. I challenge you 4 years and four, but you people make me sick, you know. Graduate on time, sometimes early, you know, just got to go above and beyond. Good job. We'll put a gold star on your chest, okay? But some of us had to learn through the school of hard knocks. And I got saved right before I came to Bible college, and I was a brand new Christian. And I don't care what other people think, but I know that when we heard Brother Howell say, those aren't dorms, those are barracks, you're not students, you're soldiers. And that's what I needed for such a time as that. And God surrounded me with certain people. And I was from California, and I didn't go home at Christmas, but Miss Belinda and her husband, they were my parents away from home. And I spent Christmas in Connersville, Indiana with them, and I spent Thanksgivings here with them. And there were times where I just went home with her husband, and she'd be like, what are you doing back in my house again, boy? And you know how Miss Belinda is, and I'm so grateful that the college honored her last week. And there's a lot of people who are going to be throwing crowns at Jesus' feet. And we think it's going to be these people tossing them when there's going to be a whole bunch of people like Miss Belinda, who I just want to publicly say thank you for being faithful to God and being a mentor to us. And I know normally you girls have to do all that, but she got a few of us. And what we all went through, God knit our hearts together and gave me some gold friends like Joe Vasek and Adam Longo and Jesse Dominguez and Tom Hertzel and Danny Allen and John Horton and John Shook. And we're all still serving the Lord the best we can. We're just trying to be iron that sharpeneth iron. I pray you young folks here can acquire friendships like that, to where you're more than just social media buddies and just trying to like each other's statuses to get more friends, but to establish a friendship that says, let's serve the Lord with our lives. Amen. Father, this morning I pray that you would take this message to be a help and blessing to those who hear. And I pray, God, as a result, we don't know more about Clint Fredericks, but we know more about you. And we draw closer to you to live our lives for your honor and for your glory. Bless now is my prayer, and I ask these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. A mission statement. A mission statement is a statement of a company or an organization of their purpose. A mission statement should guide the actions of an organization, spell out its overall goal, provide a path, and guide decision making. All right? For instance, Walmart. Walmart's mission statement is to help people save money so they can live better. That's a nice way of saying we sell cheap stuff, right? Ah, Chick-fil-A. I think we can open the altar right now just on Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A's mission statement. Think about this. To be America's best quick service restaurant at winning and keeping customers. I think True Kathy knew what he was talking about when he wrote that. I think Chick-fil-A should be in charge of the Department of Transportation, as well as they got that two-lane drive-through working, man. No offense, McDonald's. I appreciate McDonald's. I'm glad you're here. Da-dun-dun-dun-dun. I'm loving it. And I think one of our girls came to school here and worked at that McDonald's, Jessica Cummings, and I'm grateful for that McDonald's. So thank you so much for what you've done. Nike. You think of Nike. Now, I just heard some of you do it, yeah. But that's not their mission statement. That's a sales pitch. Their mission statement is to bring inspiration and innovation to every athlete in the world. So you can see what these mission statements do. And I want to say this morning, I believe every Christian should have a mission statement. Since we were children, we did what we were told. And we should. It's biblical. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. As we get older, we want some freedom, but God still places some authorities around us. So again, biblically speaking, obey them that have the rule over you. And we should submit to the authorities that God has ordained over us as well. But there has to come a time where every Christian hears and knows the voice of God. And when you mature into the spot to where you do things because God leads, guides, and directs you, is a very freeing and liberating time as a Christian. When you can say, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, until you hear that voice, continue to seek counsel, continue to seek guidance, continue to seek help. But my prayer is that you would have a mission statement, or as we would call it, a life verse. I want to talk to you this morning about having a life verse for your life. You think of in your Bibles, maybe many of you have. I don't have in this particular Bible. This Bible I purchased, and I had all of my children sign it with their life verse for me. Brother Wilkerson, it breaks my heart as I look through my other Bibles, and I'm encouraged by a multitude of signatures that are in there. But there's a few in there that I just put a check mark next to. I'm no better than them, and by the grace of God, that could be me, but they're no longer preaching. It's not that they passed on, it's just they're no longer in ministry. But there are several that are in there that have kept on keeping on, are still going, are still sounding the alarm, are still witnessing, are still sowing seed, are still preaching and still faithful to the Lord. And I want to say to you that names like Lee Robertson through the years, whose life verse was Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. And when you think about the life and ministry of a Lee Robertson, who in 1946 came home from a meeting and found out that his little baby, Joy, had passed away through the night with SIDS. And you think, how is he going to react? What's going to take place as a result of this storm in his life? And the man whose life verse is, we know that all things work together for good, is inspired to start a camp. Inspired to purchase a property and to name it after that daughter who passed away and to get investors to give financially into it so that not one person will have to pay a single dollar to attend camp at Camp Joy there. And we know that all things work together for good, and hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds and thousands of people have trusted Christ as their Savior because Lee Robertson said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Think of my former pastor, if he's ever signed your Bible, Dr. Jack Treiber, he would sign 3 John 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. When he signed my Bible that way, well, I said, Brother Treiber, I'm not one of your kids. He says, we're all a child of God. And when we have influence and we have mentorship, it does me good to see people going out to carry the gospel, going out. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, those that I have influence over, those that I've mentored, those who've been in body of our church, those who've been part of our conferences, those who've been part of our meetings, those who've been part of our college, that when they go out, that they're still serving the Lord, that gives me joy. Amen. You think of our former pastor here, Dr. Jack Hiles, Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness. The thing Brother Hiles is probably most known for is the fact that he taught us all that there is a hell. And people will die and go to one of two places, a place is called heaven or a place called hell. And we have the words of life to change someone's eternal destiny. And he encouraged us, and he encouraged us as students, and he encourages us as pastors, and he encouraged us to say, let's turn many, let's turn many, let's turn many, let's turn many.
Good.
Each of these verses help us to motivate and to guide and to instruct the life of a Christian. It's a mission statement. It's a life verse. Now, let me say this. If you're going to use a life verse, make sure you get it accurate. A young couple was getting wed, and they told the caterer on the cake they wanted to have a Bible verse on it. Their request was 1 John 4:18, which states, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." As the cake showed up, it did not say 1 John 4:18, it said John 4:18. "For thou hast five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thine husband." I want to encourage you, if you choose a life verse, make sure you get it right. What's interesting is how you get a life verse. We're going to read my life verse here in just a second, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And how I got this verse is, I think, just as important as why this verse is important to me. We were in the midst of a fall program, amen, here at college. And the schedule was such that the big day was happening this particular week. And it also was a week while I worked at Rayco Steel Company that I worked the 3 to 11 shift. And the guy who worked the 11 to 7 shift took the vacation. So we cover it 4 hours each, which means I just stay 4 hours after. And then the guy that starts at 7 in the morning comes in 4 hours early. And that's how we covered someone's shift for that week. So that particular week, I worked from 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. And so I went to class, but it's the big day. And the peer pressure was to go visit your bus route during the week because Saturday just wasn't enough. And so as soon as church ed was over, we ran to the dining hall and drove up to Chicago to visit the bus route. Now, again, the peer pressure said go visit, but I'm thinking, nobody's home. They're all at school. But we just left flyers on all the doors and in the area for the big day, the big day, the big day. And so we'd go visit, and then we'd go straight to Markham, Illinois, and go to Rayco Steel Company and work from 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. Then I'd get home here about 3:40 and crawl into the bed after getting a quick shower. And I think 8 o'clock class came. I probably woke up at 7:53, jumped in the shower, and at 7:59 walked into that class ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. And, man, I was ready to go. And I went to class, and then I sat in chapel, and then went to church ed and lunch and went up to the bus route and visited and went to work and worked from 3 to 3 and got home at 3:40 and da-da-da-da. I'm telling you, man, by Wednesday, I was done. I was just physically spent. So on the way to Chicago, after leaving church ed and grabbing lunch, I stopped at a Rotten Robbie's and got myself some Ding Dongs and some Nestle Quick. Now, Red Bull wasn't around way back then, but I remember when I was getting ready to purchase everything, there was this little packet of pills, and it was like, need a pick-me-up? And I was like, absolutely. And I am no doctor by any stretch of the imagination, but they were just called mini thins, all right? I think that was a nice way of saying cocaine. But anyway, I got it. And, man, I don't know if I was supposed to take 2 every 4 hours or 4 every 8 hours, but I just opened that sucker and I took them. And the hope of America, right? That's right. Here we go. And I took those things, and I drove to my bus route, and then I got to work Thursday and Thursday night, and that was the quickest 12-hour shift I had ever worked, man. It was just like, wow, we're clocking out already. And then I think I drove home, but it felt like I was George Jetson, and I flew home, and I just got home. And then I tried to go to sleep, but I was like, nope, can't sleep. I'm laying down right there. And I said, let's go to class now, guys. Hey, Joe, you awake? Hey, guys, you want to go to class? Shut up, quick, go to sleep. I said, well, I can't sleep, man. Let's go. And, man, I got up and went to class that morning. It was upstairs above Liberty Square, some classroom there. I remember Judson Mitchell was teaching. And, man, I was wide. I was just like, yeah, bring it to me, Brother Mitchell, yeah. That was Friday of class. Big day coming. Can't wait. The next thing I remember, my eyes opened up. And as I was focusing, I noticed I'm laying in a room that I don't recognize. And as my eyes finally focus, Judson Mitchell's face is like 2 inches from mine. He's just sitting there leaned over. Big old line down his forehead, just. And I opened my eyes, and I'm like, Brother Mitchell? He's like, yeah. I said, what are you doing here? He goes, what are you doing here? I said, where am I? He goes, you're in the infirmary. I was in the college infirmary. I said, I got to go. We got the big day. He says, you missed it. I said, what? He goes, it's Monday. Monday? I said, what? He goes, I was teaching my Proverbs class, and I looked over, and you fell out of your desk. And we got a stretcher to carry you down those stairs. They almost dropped you. I said, well, that's nice. He says, you've been in the infirmary since Friday. I said, wow. I said, do you know if my bus route hit their goal or not? Because, you know, that we got to find out the importance, right? What's... He had prayer with me, and he handed me a silver Bible. He bought me a Bible, and he signed his name and wrote some nice things in there. And he wrote this verse in that Bible, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9 and 10. Since that day, this has become my life verse. This has become my guiding factor. It has been the statement that guides the action of my life. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9 and 10, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now. For the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Every morning when I wake up, I read this verse. I quote this verse. I meditate on this verse. I muse on this verse for me. I'm not saying this has to be your mission statement or life's verse, but I want to encourage you to get one that can guide you to be the why behind what you do. Why do you do this, Brother Clint? Because the Lord had chosen me to build a house for the sanctuary. Why do you do this, Brother Clint? Because I want to know God more than anything. Why do you do this, Brother Clint? Because I want to serve him with a perfect heart. See, when we break all this down and we see this, it's to know God. And we understand that Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death. That yes, to know God is the power of the resurrection, but to know God also is to have the fellowship of his sufferings. Yes, there's mountaintops, but there's also going to be valleys. But those who know God get out of the valley and get to the next mountaintop. And while they're on the next mountaintop, they're aware that another valley is going to come. Because to know him is to know him and the resurrection and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. That it's not all rainbows and unicorns. But you don't have to go through those storms, as Pastor Wilkerson mentioned, alone if you know him. Now, I'm not talking about knowing about him. I'm talking about knowing him. Yes, salvation. But salvation's more than being saved. It's growing to know and love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. That's the first great commandment. Now, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and then serve him. Oh, David wrote it best when he said, "A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Let me say that the area in which you serve is exactly where God wants you. When I got here, I wound up being a silent partner for soul winning. And man, I loved being a silent partner, and I loved running interference, and I loved turning the TV down, and I loved playing with the kids while we witness to the parents. Then I loved talking to the parents while we witness to the kids. I loved playing basketball with guys while they were talking to someone else. And getting. I loved being a silent partner. I loved being a bus driver. I loved being a bus captain. I loved leading the program on the bus. I loved being the memory verse guy at a junior church, and I'd come up and say, "Boys and girls, what do I hold in my hand?" And they'd say, "The Bible." And I'd say, "Is every Bible of the Word true?" "Yes, sir." "Oh, if the Bible says a little boy beat a big giant, did that really happen?" "Yes, sir." "Oh, my boys and girls, if the teacher at the school you go to says that this is just a bunch of stories, what is your teacher doing?" "Lying." And man, I'd be the memory verse guy, and then I'd sit down, and then Dan Middleton would get up, "Let God arise and his enemies be scattered." Then Brother John Francis would get up and preach, and kids would get saved, and I was serving the Lord. Yeah. I was the memory verse guy. Good. Then Brother John asked me to preach. Man, I was preaching behind the same pulpit as Dr. Jack Hiles. I was preaching to 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th graders from Chicago at 523 Sibley Street. I was serving the Lord. And then God moved us from here to California. And you know what we did there? We served the Lord. You know what we did from California to Arkansas? We were serving the Lord. You know what we're doing now in North Carolina? We're serving the Lord. Why? Because you know Him. We cannot serve Him if we don't truly know Him. And in vain we know Him if we don't serve Him. Know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart. A perfect heart deals with wholehearted, not sinless, but wholeheartedness. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him." Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's what a perfect heart means. 100%. You ever watch guys play basketball, open gym, playground, whatever? They're just throwing the ball around, Brother Wilkerson. "Oh, hey, I'm Damian Lillard. I'm going to shoot it from half court. Oh, I missed. No big deal. I'm not Damian Lillard." Then we come back and we try to make passes and we come down. Then all of a sudden some girls just show up on the sidelines. All of a sudden these guys who were just throwing the ball around, like, "All right, guys, here we go. Defensive stance. Here we go. Come on, come on. Deny. Help. Oh, watch the skip pass. They're trying, set it up. Run the play. You're like, "Dude, it's open gym. What are you talking about?" All of a sudden, man, it's game 7 of the NBA Finals. And you guys are playing with all your heart. Girls, don't laugh. You're no different. Nah, not with sports. I give you a $250 gift card and say, "Go to the mall and have yourself a time." You girls know exactly which stores you're going to. You're getting the BOGO offers. You're going to get the buy one, get the second one 50% off. You're going to do all this and go to that cash register and say, "Ring it all up, girl. I got it all." You already did the math in here. You know you've got a $250 gift card. You know you have $245 worth of stuff. That girl starts going, "Deep, deep." And boy, she starts swinging those things through. Then all of a sudden, nothing goes through. She punches it in. This 19-year-old employee who thinks she deserves $20 an hour gets upset and says, "Matt, customer service to the register, please. Customers. Oh, great. Now we got to wait." Then the all-powerful manager who has that telephone cord key wrapped around her wrist, man, she comes up and she says, "What seems to be the problem here?" "So, well, I tried to ring this up, but it wasn't skin, and I don't know what it is. And then I tried what you did, and what you did. So I had to call you. I need a break. Get out of here." And boy, she puts a key in, override, beep, 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 beep. She's like, "All right, that'll be $296. And you're like, "No, no, 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 no. I think you rang that sweater and that other blouse that went with that sweater is buy one, get the old one half off. I ain't paying full price for that right there. He said, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. Let me figure that. It comes down $245. He's like, how much are these earrings? $4. Put that in too. Yeah. And man, you know what you've done? You have shopped with all your heart. You guys have played ball with all your heart. And would to God that we would have daily devotions with all our heart. And would to God that we go soul winning with all of our heart. And would to God that we have a song service where we sing with all of our heart. And would to God that he had Christians who know him, who serve him with a perfect heart. And serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. The perfect heart is one thing, the willing mind is another. That's a good attitude. Gotta go soul winning today. Prayer meeting at 6 a.m. and we haven't even had breakfast yet. Prayer meeting. Gotta go bus meeting and bus visitation. Hi, we'd like to invite you to church tomorrow. I can't believe it. Yeah, four guys in my car, none of them gave me gas money. I can't believe that, man. If I had a dollar for every time a guy got out of my car and said, I'll get it back to you. I'll pay you next time. I'll double up. Yeah, right. A good attitude. Being able to truthfully put that smile up. Serving him with a perfect heart, yes, and a willing mind. For the Lord understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. The Lord searcheth all the hearts and understandeth all the imaginations. Turn with me to Luke 14. I want you to see something as we finish up. Luke 14. We need to serve him with a willing mind because can I tell you something? God knows it. Luke chapter 14. I want you to see this about searching all the hearts and understanding all the minds with me. Luke chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass as he went into the house one of the chief as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him here. All right, class, why did Jesus go into the house of this Pharisee? To eat bread. It's not a trick question. It says it right there, okay? Open book, the answer's right in front of you. All right, let's try this again. Why did Jesus go into this house? To eat bread. Why did the Pharisees go into this house? They watched him. Trying to catch him. Verse 2. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. That's the guy you don't want to pick on your basketball team. He keeps dropsying the ball. Okay, all right, here we go. So he has this disease. Verse 3. And Jesus, what's the next word there, class? Answering, spake unto the Lord. Here's my question. What was their question? What are they answering? What's he answering? Nobody asked. They just went there to watch him. The Lord searcheth all the hearts and understandeth all the thoughts. And Jesus, verse 3, answering, spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Verse 4, and they held their peace. What does that mean, they held their peace? Did they say anything, yes or no? Okay, so they didn't say a word. And they held their peace, and he took them and healed them and let them go. Next three words, and answered them. Wait a minute, I thought they held their peace. It's because God understandeth the heart and knows the thoughts of all of us. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, but in that heart, God understands. Amen. And in those thoughts, God hears and understands. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. I love Hebrews 11:5. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's a great truth we need to live by. I lived by faith a lot when I was a college student, and shamefully, I didn't live by faith a lot right when I got into ministry. And I realized I still need to live by faith. I need to stretch out further. I need to try some things. Seek him, he will be found of thee. It's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You always see what you're looking for. See, we can come into this chapel service, and someone can leave and say, man, I was helped today from the Word of God. And someone else will leave this chapel and say, man, why do we sing so many songs? And someone else will say, man, how long were we standing? Did it seem like we were standing forever? Good God, I can't believe it. We're 18 to 23 years old and we can't stand for 11 minutes to sing. Can I say you always see what you're looking for? We had one child at the time, and we were getting ready to have a second. At the time, we had a little red Mazda protege, and my wife made this statement saying, honey, if we're going to get two kids now, we probably need to get a minivan. And I was thinking, a minivan? Oh, not that I was the coolest guy on planet Earth, but I was like, I don't want to get a minivan. I was like, I don't even know anything about them. I know minivans came out like 1983 or 84. Some magician named Doug Henning was doing Plymouth Voyager commercials. It was a white minivan with wood on the side of it. That's all I knew about minivans. I went to bed that night, woke up, and God had placed 3.7 million minivans on planet Earth. Everywhere I went, I saw minivans. I saw green minivans. I saw red minivans. I saw black minivans. I saw white minivans. I saw minivans with one sliding door. I saw minivans with two sliding doors. I saw minivans, when you look in, they had three benches. I saw minivans that had captain's chairs and two benches. I saw minivans everywhere because you always see what you're looking for. I just can't find God. He's there. Can I tell you, I'm no great person with weather or meteorologist, but I do know this, that on days that are cloudy like this, whether it rains or snows or it's just cloudy, can I tell you something? The sun is still in the same exact spot. There's just some clouds in between me and the sun that I normally see. Can I tell you in life that when those storms come in your life and those tough times come, that the sun is still right where he's at?
Amen.
And you see what you're looking for.
Right.
It's just so cloudy. I'm thankful that the sun is still behind those clouds.
Amen.
And day after day, he's always there. Great is thy faithfulness.
Amen.
You see what you're looking for. This is why this verse is a guidance for me. He ends by saying this, take heed now, pay close attention, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house of the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. 1987, a meeting took place of Nike's ad agency, Whedon and Kennedy, and a group of Nike employees. As the meeting was getting ready to start, the guys from the advertising agency said, you know, you Nike guys, it's amazing. You guys just do it. Phil Knight was in the meeting. He had already stolen something from a classmate at the University of Oregon in 1977. He was sitting next to a young lady and said, hey, you're an art major, aren't you? Can you draw me some logo for my shoe company? She goes, you don't have a shoe company. He goes, I will someday. She says, okay, and she wrote a little swoosh. He says, I want to buy that off of you for $35. You know, University of Oregon student, you can buy a lot of weed with that money, I'm sure. So she took it. Phil Knight took that logo. Phil Knight took that statement from that ad agency. You Nike guys, you just do it. You just do it. That summer, they signed an athlete named Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson had a campaign that went on, and says, you want a bicycle? Bicycle. You want to do cross training? Do cross training. You want to play baseball? Play baseball. You don't play football? Play football. And then at the end it says, just do it. Just whatever it is you want to do, just do it. Just do it. Just do it. That's not their mission statement. It's their sales pitch, but that sales pitch has been ingrained in the minds of generation after generation. Just do it. Just do it. That summer, the summer previous to that, they were worth $877 million. The next summer, they were worth $1.2 billion. The next summer, they signed a guy named Michael Jordan, and were worth $3 billion. Last year, Nike's value was $47 billion, based off of three words, just do it, just do it, just do it. Can I say what the Lord is leading you to go into? Well, I'm just wondering, just do it. Yeah, if you could pray for me, Brother Clint, I really believe, then do it. Yeah, but I'm just do it. Just do it. The Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. I've revised Mark Twain's statement and made it my own and said this, there are three great days in the life of every individual. The day you were born, the day you were born again, and the day you realized they both happened. I may be 50 years old. I may be the oldest youth pastor on planet Earth. I don't care. God called me down here to lead, guide, and direct teenagers. God called me to give them instruction. God told me to point them in a way that they could be in a place where they can hear the voice of God, obey the voice of God, and do what God wants them to do, and just do it. I say to you college students here today, just do it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's get a mission statement for our life, a life's verse that can lead God and direct us to be the Christian that God wants us to be. Father in heaven, I pray you would bless this service and help decisions to be made. If they don't have a life verse, help them to pray for one and get one. If they have one, pray they live it every day of their lives. Bless your Bible now.